glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school. Brother Hefner, if we could keep the screen down, I'd like to show the scriptures. Psalms chapter 126. Psalms chapter 126 and verse number 6, starting in verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Doubtless. There's absolutely no doubt about it that those that go forth bearing precious seed shall come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves or the reward with him. Psalms 30 in verse number 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. God has a way of taking tears and turning them into joy. Amen. Not always in our timing, but in his timing. Amen. You can rest assured on that. Amen. And then I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. This preaching is for somebody this morning, maybe for all of us, but especially for some. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35, it says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance, of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. So in other words, whatever we sow, you're not going to see exactly the same thing that you put in the ground. There's going to be something else that's going to come up. As God pleased, that's the way it's supposed to be. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. That's Jesus in us, folks. And it's not just the resurrection of the dead, but we have this quickening power within us to make us alive to the things that God would want us to be alive. Well, I'm not feeling so much spiritual. Well, you need to get a little more of that quickening power within you. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, Such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. How many know that life is short? The Bible says in James, it's just a vapor that appears and then it's gone. But what we do in this short period of time, you see, nobody's gotten out of here alive except for one. And he gave us victory so that we have eternal life. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word, an anointing in this place, God, that would extend from this pulpit to the pew, that every heart would be touched, cause us to be changed a little bit from corruptible to incorruptible in this service. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. About a month ago when we got back from Mexico, I pulled into our yard and I saw this 60-foot tree that was laying down in our yard. A tree that I had planted about 40 years ago is a beautiful blue spruce. It didn't look like it was sick at all. In fact, I was very kind to it over the years. I dug around it and trimmed around it. I put mulch, and one day it decided to just fall over. I was surprised that the root system was not very deep. And so, what a job cutting it up, carrying it away, grinding out the stump. But yesterday, I planted a new white pine in its place. It wasn't as big, but it is perfect, and it will grow, and it's something that I've always wanted in our yard. I also planted three white birch in our backyard, and, you know, this summer we'll be in that house for 44 years, and I've planted and cut down and planted and cut down over the years many, many trees. All of those trees I planted, well, they're getting older, and we need some new life in our yard. I don't know of anything that would be more discouraging than just a bunch of old saints in a church without some new life. Kids like this who could sing the songs of Zion before God, not just holding on until Jesus comes, but let's improve the garden. Hallelujah. This is a season for new life. Yesterday at prayer, I stood by that window over there, and I looked out, and there was rows of Sharon on both sides of the stoop. And Sister Marquardt, when you planted those little sticks, I thought, come on. Nothing is ever going to grow. They're just a stick, you know? And now it's been just about 3 years, and they're just about ready to burst into flowers, and they're absolutely gorgeous. It won't be long until right out front we're going to see those bearded irises coming up. They're absolutely gorgeous, and some years ago, the Marquardts planted them, and they've done a marvelous job in planting and care of our yard. They buried those bulbs knowing that they're going to come up and be something beautiful. They didn't sob in the church because I'll never see those bulbs again. Any farmer that cries about their seed has most likely fallen off their Case tractor, you know, because they have the faith to believe that I did it last year and it came up, and I can do it this year and it'll come up. We should have at least the same amount of faith that a farmer has, that this is certified seed, and if I talk to somebody, if I teach somebody, something is going to happen because God wants it to grow. You see, once you see the results, teaching the Word of God, it's so exciting to plant more seed. Once you see the results of your prayers and your fasting, it's not much of a struggle in order to pray and to fast, because you know that something is being accomplished right now. You know that when you go out there and talk to the person at the gas station or the grocery store, you know you have done what God said. He said, you have the same power in your hands and your arms that I have. What's wrong with praying for somebody in the store when you know that they're sick? It won't be such a struggle when you see the results. Psalms 126 and 6 said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the word, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, if we don't believe, you know, if you go to work, if you do something at your house and you don't believe it is ever going to be accomplished or finished, or it's really not going to be worth anything or have any value, well, then you just don't have the motive. You don't have the incentive in order to do it. But those of you who have already seen the fruits of your labor, you have a great excitement when someone says, really, what church do you go to? Because you know. I've seen people come to truth years after I taught them Bible studies, years after I've come. It's just a longer winter for some people. And then all of a sudden, what is that? It's starting to come up. The seed is certified. It will never die. In the ground, it is planted. Turn to Isaiah 55 and 11. Isaiah 55, verse number 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. And so we find that every time we open our mouth, every time we sow some seeds, something is going to happen. God said it. I believe it. It's going to happen. God told Jeremiah that he was to preach the word and he was not to look at their faces, because people are constantly in the flesh, rolling their eyes. Really, this is only for the ministry. Why are you talking to me about this? No, everything that is healthy produces something. Amen. In fact, even if they tell you that they don't see it, they aren't interested, just leave me alone, be patient, because the seed is still doing a work within the individual, and I am a prime example of that. I didn't want anything to do with it, but people kept talking to me, people kept inviting me, and the seed was sown, there was a conception, and there was a process that was going on. There is a blossom in that ground that wants to spring up in its time. 1 Corinthians 15 and 35 said in the New International Version, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Verse 36, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. We're not going to be the same thing in 100 years from now, or perhaps 2 years from now, or 10 years from now. We're going to be different, you see. We need to think more about what we will be than what we are. It would be a much greater benefit to us thinking about the future than what we can do for our little comfort right now, or the process of dying to self. I've done many funerals of saints in the church. It's not a burial. It's a planting service, if you will. What we're planting is going to come up, and it's going to come up in a glorious way. Not a resting place, but a transformation place. Not a gravestone, but a beginning marker. Hallelujah. Most people do everything they can in order to avoid death. And I understand that. You eat right, and you try to exercise, and you try to do those things that are healthy. But death of the physical, but also death of the fleshly nature. So we're avoiding the death of the physical, but are we doing everything we can in order to avoid the death of the spiritual being? Yet God tells us that we must die in order to live. And the reason some are no longer in this congregation is because they didn't die. And they didn't get the life. So if you're partially dead, you don't get all of the life that God wants to give you. He wants you to be resurrected here in the church, you see. But the only thing that prevents us from really being the spiritual body that God wants us to be is that we haven't totally died to the things that God wants us to totally die to. And so there's this struggle between life and death. When a spirit dies, it is a time of trust, you see. When the saint dies, it's a time of trusting that, well, this isn't the end. When a seed is planted, the outer wrapping decomposes, and so our fleshly body decomposes, but like the seed sprouts new life, so our body will blossom into a brand new body. Consequently, we that are dead to sin and self have the seed of life to be transformed at the rapture, but also transformed in the body that God wants us to be. He wants us to be a body of believers that have been literally transformed into something that has spiritual life, and all of a sudden we have a desire for the things of God more than we have a desire for the things of the flesh. Because we understand the value of the things of the spirit versus the things of the flesh. And if we will die to the flesh, God gives us new life here on earth. Hallelujah. You have to let go. I know Egypt, well, it was tough. It was laborious. It put a lot of restrictions. But I know that life. But you have to let go of that life in order to receive a new life, a new freedom, if you will. I've been on a diet all my life. And I guess from the time I graduated from high school, I have a tendency to gain weight. And so I have to watch my diet. And it seems like I'm always watching my diet. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Have you noticed that the first three letters in diet is die? You know, no wonder. You know, who wants to die? Oh, yes. Hey, let's all go on a diet. Or let's all go to Culver's. Now we're talking. You see? I've had to die in order to get this new body, you know? And we all have to die in order to get the body that we perceive is better than the body that you presently have. And the same is true in the spirit. You have to die to the flesh in order to get the body we really want to have one day. I don't think much about the old hard-to-fit-in clothes guy, but the new improved Brother Schumacher, I think, well, it'll be worth it. You see, but first I have to die it. How many here like dessert? Come on, we're in church. We're in church. There's, don't you just love it when the cook says, "As soon as you're finished, I have a surprise for you." You know, maybe something flaming up on the table and. God says something like that. As soon as you are finished with this body, I have a surprise for you. I've got a brand new body for you. 1 Corinthians 15 and 37 says, we can't envision the new body by looking at the old body. The brown bulbs that Sister Marquardt planted doesn't look anything like the picture on the label of the bearded iris. But she thought, you know what? The only way I can do this, I can put those bulbs in the cabinet, I can put them in the basement, but they will never look like the picture on the bag until I bury them in the ground and they start to decompose. And then out of that decomposition, something new, something beautiful comes. It's a metamorphosis. It's the caterpillar butterfly. That caterpillar has to restrict itself and allow a cocoon to prevent it having any kind of freedom. And you cannot take that cocoon in and open it up a little bit so it has an easier time. I wish I could, with the saints in the church, say, I'm going to fix it for you. But God's saying, no, no, let them struggle a little bit, because through the struggle of dying, there is something beautiful that comes out of it. There is no free lunch. There is no easy way to become what God wants us to become, except there's some struggle involved, and we try to circumvent it all of the time. We may not be able to envision our new bodies, but we are going to love the new bodies that God gives us. Paul said our bodies will be transformed in three different ways. Corruption, transformed to incorruption. Mortality into immortality. From dishonor to glory, from weakness into power. And God's saying, it's going to be so much better, but I'll tell you what, somehow you got to be planted in the church before you can come up and be that which God wants you to be. Oh, you were so close. You got to the ground. They dug the hole, but hallelujah. I don't want to almost be saved. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter? This is the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. We're going to read that again. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, and it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die to get there. Everybody wants to be that saint that has the power to lay hands on someone to overcome everything. But nobody wants to do the fasting and the praying and the separation in order to receive the power. God's not going to just distribute it to people who simply say, I want it. How badly do you want it? 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. No more death. No more aches. No more pains. No more wrinkles. And this mortal must put on immortality. That means life forever. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word victory, years ago I preached on that word victory, is the Greek word Nike. And so the Nike Corporation has taken the word victory in the Greek and sold all of their products. But I'll tell you what, we have the real victory, not because we got the right jersey, not because we have the right shoes, not because we have the right sports equipment, but we got the right God, and we have the right formula in order to get the victory over death. It's our worst enemy. Hallelujah. Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3 and verse 20, where our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change your vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Hallelujah. Psalm 17 and 15. Psalm 17, verse number 15, it says, David saying, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So David's saying, I know that I'm going to sleep, but when I wake up, I'm going to have a likeness just like you, God. Turn to Acts 2 and verse 34. We don't quote this scripture very often, but in the most monumental message ever preached to the church about baptism, repentance, and infilling of the Holy Ghost, Paul took the time, according to the unction of God, to say in verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. John 3 and 13 tells us, no one has ascended to heaven except he who has descended from heaven and is in heaven. And so we find that God saying, there's going to be a resurrection. I'm going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know why? Because they're planted. Amen. They're planted. They're planted in the church. They're planted in the truth. They have died out to self, and now they have a resurrection and a glorious body that they will have. 1 John, the third chapter. First John chapter 3 and verse number 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when he comes back, we're going to be like him. Oh, I'm trying to be like him now. But I'm telling you, we're going to really be like him. Really, we're going to have a glorious body like his glorious body. No intermissions between now and the rapture, please. Let's not take any intermissions. Let's not slip back. Let's not say, well, you know, I've been in the church for 40 years now. I'm just going to take a little break here. You don't know if you're going to be able to come back, folks. You ought to be scared to death to take a break, because God's the one who grants repentance. You can't make that decision. Hallelujah. Those bearded irises out there, they're not saying, well, you know what, I've been buried long enough, I think I'm just going to get out of here for a little while. Okay, forget about the beauty. Hallelujah. Let's also turn to 2 Corinthians 5. I know there's a lot of scripture, but it's important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle or residence were dissolved, we have a building or a dwelling of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house or dwelling, which is from heaven. I want that new body, God. I'm starting to think that more and more every day when I get up and I'm feeling the aches and pains. I'd really like that new house, God. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle, we're talking about the flesh, do groan or complain or murmur, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment on the new house, if you will. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So one day, we're going to just trade it in.
Amen.
Trade in the old one for a brand new one. I know this doesn't seem like a relevant message right now, but you never know.
Amen.
He's coming sooner than you think. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Our bodies will be changed, but we will not receive a different body." Is that confusing enough? So our bodies are going to be changed, but we're not going to get a different body. Did Jesus have a different body? No. But his body was no longer that of the body he was born in. We will receive a renewed body, a different body, a body that isn't subject to the same things that this earth is subject to. But the only way God can do that is if the old one dies to itself. Would you like a sneak preview of the new body? I wish I could just bring that new body out here. It would cause everybody to be much more spiritual this morning. You know? You know? Have that body walk through a wall, you know, and just kind of disappear and appear. And that's what that new body will be able to do, and it'll give us a greater incentive when the next time you decide you're not going to do this or you're not going to do that, you start to think about this new body. But this also is true without the illustration. We have one in looking at the resurrected body of Jesus. It is the reason that he spent 40 days here on earth in this new glorified body. And he was demonstrating what is going to happen with your body. There's a damnable doctrine that says that there is an annihilation and just there is no life after death. You just, like an animal, just disintegrate. That is not true. Everyone who was ever born on this earth is going to have an eternity someplace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. A body that could be touched, a body that was visible, a body that could eat, a body that could fellowship, a body that could be recognized. If you don't like your body right now, well, that's just too bad. It was Jesus that made your body the way he wanted, not what you wanted. And when we get to heaven, it's not going to be about the beauty of our bodies. It's going to be about the beauty of our Lord, you see. Luke 24 and 39, Jesus said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see we have." And so what he's saying is, I want you to just touch me and understand that even though I'm a resurrected body, I still can take the pleasures of people around me. Jesus ate breakfast with his disciples. When we get to that place, diets will not be allowed.
Amen.
We will walk through walls. No need for plane tickets to General Conference. We'll just fly there on our own. No lines for security. No need for Kleenex or handkerchiefs because there won't be any more tears in this brand. I'm looking forward. That which was faulty will be fixed. I'm not taking my hearing aids to heaven, folks. You're not going to take your canes to heaven. You're not going to take your heart stents to heaven. Our bodies will be different, but we won't have a different body, if you will. God has a high respect for your body. He has a great value for the body you have right here. Don't ever complain about God's work. Every one of us have been manufactured, have been conceived, the DNA for who you are right now. Some are thin, some aren't so thin. Some are tall, some are short. Some are, you know, God designed it. When you get to the place where you're complaining about who you are, you're complaining to God by manufacturing you in a different, He has signed and numbered every one of us as an artist will. We're a limited edition. There's nobody that has your eye prints or your fingerprints, the same DNA. We can get close because of bloodlines, but we'll never be the same as any other person. 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and everyone created different just the way God wanted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has a high regard. And so as a result, respect it. Don't worship it, but respect it. You know, some who have a little bit better beauty, attractiveness, you're cursed. Because you have a greater tendency not to serve God because of your attractiveness. You know, I'm just grateful that I have a face that nobody runs to or runs away from. You know, that you know what? You know, oh, there he is. You know, not, oh, there he is. You know, glory to God. Have you ever noticed how common most people are? You know, I mean, and then every once in a while, there's this outstanding person that they end up in Hollywood and eventually in the wrong place. We have to respect it, but not worship it to the point where, oh my, I really am. When you spend more time in front of the mirror than you do in front of the mirror, there's a problem.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the temple of God. It's a container. It's a place that God has taken up residency. It's a place, it's an earthen vessel with a great treasure inside of it. And sometimes God wants it broken so we realize that the value is in us and not us. So be careful how you feed it, how you use it, how you maintain it. I believe it's unto the glory of God. You wouldn't want anybody trashing your house, so be careful with the house that God has given you, because one day He's going to call it up. He's going to recycle it. He's going to make it eternal. He's going to make it immortal. He's going to make it a glorious place. There's going to be times when He's going to showcase these houses in heaven to perhaps angels. Do you see that one? Wow, what has transpired and how it has been transformed. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to the rapture. Hallelujah. You won't be leaving anything behind that is good. Hallelujah. We came into this world naked, and I'll tell you what, we're going to leave naked. I can't imagine how miserable these billionaires will be because they know they're getting to the end and everything that they've ever had is here. Well, all mine has been shipped up ahead. Hallelujah. They say the best way to avoid all of those lines at the airport is you take all of your clothes and you put it in a cardboard box, and then you have UPS pick it up and ship it to where you're going. and then you are free to walk in the lines without ever going through all of the customs and all of the, you know, the inspections. And maybe that's a good thing for the church, that we just send it all ahead, you see, instead of trying to drag it through all of the lines and all of the problems that we have here. Amen. That's it. It's over. Could you stand? You know, every one of us have, to a certain degree, lost a relative, a friend. I've lost many, including my parents, including a grandson. But I have a hope. Paul said, sorrow not as those who have no hope. And there's going to be a reuniting in a much better place. But until then, I'll tell you what, I want to get as close to Jesus as I possibly can. Because I know most of those that I've known have been sanctified, and I want to be with them again on streets of gold. I'm going to live this thing. I want to conform to the image of God. Rachel, when she left her father Laban's house, she took Laban's statue and hid it in the pack. And when Laban found out, he sent men after her, his own daughter, to get that statue. Because back in those days, what they did is they took all of their wealth and they put it in gold and they had it melted down into a statue that was the image of the father. And whoever had the image of the father got the inheritance. I'm telling you, whoever has the image of the father gets the inheritance. I want to be more like him. And then he'll give us life and life more abundantly here. But, oh, if you finish, I've got a surprise for you. It's going to be a better body. The altar's open. Would you come?